That's crazy. I was actually calling from the landline in my office, so now I'm on the cell phone. This is better.
No kidding. Wow. Okay.
Well, anyway, what I was sharing, Greg, is that we're very excited about the future here and opening things up. And, of course, the data and the CDC and the science is all moving in the right direction. So we're very excited about it. In fact, we're actually preparing for what we're calling internally as kind of the soft opening of the college.
Mm-hmm.
We've had a number of employees that have been here, about 15 months now. Many of us coming in, and we are maintaining everything that needs to happen here, keeping the buildings going, making sure the boilers are working, the grounds and everything is all working well. And the folks have been coming on and have just been doing an amazing job here on campus. And of course, all the other campus sites have been closed down. So we're going to continue to kind of ramp things up, make sure everything is safe and copacetic for people coming back. And then, on July 6th, we're welcoming back all of our employees on the central campus here for what I call as the soft opening. And again, reconnecting and talking with folks, we've got a number of new employees that many of our colleagues haven't met yet. We've only met them virtually. In fact, one of our deans in the trades area is brand new, and he's not had the benefit of meeting so many of his colleagues or direct reports. So we'll have some activities kind of reconnecting everybody, but certainly preparing for the fall semester. And then the 1st of August, we will actually open up to the general public. So the barriers will start coming down. We'll still have a checkpoint. We're going to continue to do that work, making sure that people are temperature checked and those kinds of things. And then be ready for classes to open up both ground-based and also online. And that will actually occur at all of our campus locations, with the exception of Mahur right now, our north campus. We're holding that in reserve a little bit. We want to try to get a sense of what enrollment is doing for the fall, both in terms of what student needs and expectations are, but as well as what the actual market bears out. So are students still going to be conservative and take online classes and think that they need to be safe that way? Or are they willing to come out and come to ground-based courses, rather, and come to campus? So we'll adapt as it makes sense to do so.
How did the students react to online, Dan?
Well, I think it's a mixed bag, Greg. I think that if you have been very, very much a self-starting student, you're really focused on doing the work and you're really disciplined and you are really used to that technology and you're comfortable with that technology, I think it went very well for you. But for other students who maybe don't have the kind of device that you really need, their technology is basically a cell phone and they're taking exams and submitting papers over a phone, probably didn't go as well for them. I think it also matters on how many courses they're taking in a semester. And even for myself and many of my colleagues here and professionals well in our community, you can only spend so much time on this vertical real estate before you get tired. You need to get up, move around, and you need that social interaction. So I think there are a lot of factors that really affect a student's ability to be successful in an online environment. It's certainly not for everybody, and that's why we're excited about returning to ground-based course delivery on our campuses across the district.
Well, registration opens tomorrow, June 2nd, right?
Yes, actually, we are. We have courses going on right now. We have online courses available for students. We have a 7-week semester that picks up on June 7th, running through July 26th. Then we have another 5-week semester, or term, I should say, that runs from July 6th to August 9th. We also have Ready, Set, Jet. In fact, I think today is the last day for students to sign up for that. Those who want to live in housing, we've got an academic requirement. So the summer they can come out from July 7th through August 13th, pick up about 12 credit hours, as a matter of fact, and get their academics up and be ready to go as kind of a summer bridge program. And then, as you mentioned, Greg, we've got fall registration starting tomorrow. And we're excited about classes for the fall semester, then beginning both ground-based and online on August 30th.
Yeah, hard to project, Dan, what the numbers might look like.
Well, you know, that's interesting, Greg. We're looking at what happens with this the summer enrollment here and seeing what happens with our 7-week and 5-week terms here and seeing what kind of activity we get. I've been talking with my colleagues across the countryside. Zoom makes that easy. So I've been able to get a sense of where my colleagues are. And most had thought that they would see a groundswell, forgive the pun, but a groundswell of activity for ground-based courses. But the early data is suggesting that that is not as strong as what the predictions have been. So it's still quite early. You know, the class is not beginning until August 30th. We still have some time to sort that out. And, you know, we've got some marketing efforts and communication efforts and admissions work that we're doing. And I suspect I'll be a lot smarter on this question that you raise about 60 days from now than I am right today.
Any truth to the rumor you moved into one of those tiny houses?
Well, there's always a kernel of truth in everything, Greg. I have been inside of the tiny homes. I walked around in the tiny home, but no, I don't have residency there. It's actually down the road at Wickwire House. where I'm at. So,
how did that all come about, Dan?
The tiny homes were actually a desire by all of us here at the college to recognize that we've got a very diverse student body. And we recognize that for some students, it's particularly hard to be able to pick up classes and really make serious progress on the completion of a degree. And one of those demographics are single parents, even single mothers, single dads, or even young married couples with children. It's just very difficult. And we have found through our research that many times the students just don't have enough income. I mean, financial aid only goes so far. And that covers for, you know, books, tuition fees, materials, things like that. But it doesn't cover the cost of living. And so many of our students can only afford to go to college part-time. And they work full-time, maybe two or three different jobs to be able to keep the money coming in. And so our thought was, is there something that we could do on campus? And we became aware of the tiny home movement, container homes, you know, the old shipping containers.
Sure.
Those kinds of things. So we did some research around that, and we thought, well, what we've got all these services here. What if we brought students on campus? We provided housing for them. We've got child care. We've got mental health services. We've got medical clinics here. We can provide them with a job. We've got food here on campus. I mean, everything they need is right here. And so we said, let's provide incentives for students to be able to do this. So we'll provide them a very competitive cost per month for living in these tiny homes, very nice facilities, enough bedrooms for their kids. And they have child care support. They get some money in their pocket through a campus-based job, and they go to college full-time. And our goal is to get them out in 2 years. And if they want, we'll help them get a job afterwards. And if that doesn't go well, or not part of their plan, rather, then we will actually work with them, like with Wayne State University. They can continue to live in the tiny home and pick up their baccalaureate degree with Wayne State University, which is located on our campus. So, yeah, we've had a great relationship with a company called Mustard Seed Tiny Homes. They're actually the ones who built those for us, and they're out of Northeast Atlanta area. I will tell you, we've learned a lot going through this. Jim Jones, director of our construction work here on campus, was intimately involved, as was I, in doing this work. We found out that the regulations in Michigan with regard to housing development didn't include that. So the state of Michigan has been learning as we've been innovative in trying to serve students. There are new laws on the books now that actually accommodate tiny homes, where the closest thing they had up to this point were mobile homes. And clearly these are permanent stick-based residences. So we really had to work with the state and local county government, too, to get that all taken care of.
Hey, your athletic program had quite a run there, baseball, softball.
Oh, we sure did. We sure
bowling,
did.
soccer. I mean, they all had very successful seasons.
Yes. You know, Courtney Ivan, our head of our athletics, and she and the coaching staff have just done an amazing job this year. I felt really tough for our women's softball team this year. They got so close, and sometimes, you know, it comes down to one final call, which kind of turns the course of events. And I've been pleased with all the coaches.
That was terrible umpiring.
Yeah, I know. It was just I know our team was crestfallen at that outcome, and it was just so close. But I have to tell you, Greg, both the coaching staff and Courtney and the student athletes as well. You know, I'm just so proud of them and the way they handle that. I mean, it's pretty yeah. easy to get really upset about that, but they held their head high. They knew they were a strong team this year, and they proved it whether they won or not. And I couldn't be more proud of them. And perhaps maybe to celebrate the work of the softball team as well as our baseball team. Later this summer, we're actually going to begin reconstruction of our baseball and softball field. So
fantastic.
We're going to have something that they're going to have a really good field to play on come next season.
Well, fantastic. That's great news.
Yeah. We're very excited about that. We've been able to get some help from our foundation, things like that. So we're excited about what that facility is going to look like. And the dugouts are a little bit bigger just in case we have another variant coming around. And we're also adding lighting, so we'll be able to engage in tournament play
Super.
On site and perhaps even partner with the community for some community activities there, too.
I was just reading about your foundation. They looks like they want to get in my wallet here.
But that's, you and other people, too.
Yeah, that's if people are interested, Dan, in partnering with the college, what should they do?
Well, I'll tell you what, we have lots of opportunities for people to have a naming opportunity or just to contribute in scholarships, all kinds of ways to partner with the institution. Feel free to call my office or Jason Valente, who's our vice president for advancement at the college and also president of the foundation. And they're based up at the Maher campus. Feel free to give them a call and we'll be able to help you relieve the weight in your wallet, Greg.
Yeah. Okay, registration starts tomorrow for the fall semester at Jackson College. Dan, thanks so much for stopping by.
Yeah, thanks, Greg. Thanks for your time.
Take care. Dan Phelan, Jackson College.